إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Last time we have met, we talked about the issue of innovation, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seen as if it was yesterday. But as we are thinking about it, it's been an entire week since we have talked about it. And it seems as if it was yesterday, we're sitting on that end, and we're talking about it, and we're talking about the different issues and different evidence concerning this affair. So inshaAllah, just like this sitting is fresh in our memory, inshaAllah, the information that we said concerning that issue is still fresh in our memory. Is there anything called that good innovation in the religion? No. There is none? Who can give me an evidence to that? Who can give me evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah that says there is no... Yes, that is one evidence that today I have perfected the religion. So what?
Oh, there is nothing you can add on it.
If it's perfect, you cannot add nothing to it because it's perfect. That is the meaning of something being perfect, that it's not subject to come and enhance it because it's perfect. It's perfect. Okay. So how a person can establish Tawheed 100%? Because remember, we are on the chapter on whoever establishes Tawheed will enter paradise without any reckoning. And we said to establish Tawheed we have to do three things. Who can tell us those things?
ترك البدع.
ترك الشرك. Believe all type of whoever does that will enter paradise without any reckoning, because this is the establishment of al-tawheed. Having said that, the author of the book, he brought the ayah where it says, "Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa." وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Verily, Ibrahim was indeed a model, devoutly obedient to Allah, but true in faith, and he was not of those who ascribe partners to Allah Azza wa Jalla. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Ibrahim by two things. First, that he was an ummah. An ummah in this connotation, in this text, that he was a model. He was a role model to the people. He was an example to follow. So he was an ummah. He was qanitan. Qanitan, it means that somebody who is devout in his obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Always obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. Hanifa. Hanifa, he means he was going towards what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to go towards us. That is the meaning of Hanifa. And he was not from those who committed shirk. He was never from those who committed shirk. He's always been a person who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only without any partner. So in this ayah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Ibrahim with four qualities. What is the benefit to us when we hear this ayah? What type of information we have to understand from this ayah? First, we understand from this ayah the virtue of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Secondly, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him not because of any type of quality, his tall, his short, his black, his white, He praised him for certain religious qualities. That what will make a person a person. Thirdly, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises a person, that means Allah loves this person. So therefore, consequently, we have to love whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. This is part of our love to Allah azza wa jal. By loving Allah, it implies we have to love whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. So Allah azza wa jal loves Ibrahim, therefore we love Ibrahim. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves Ibrahim for the qualities that Ibrahim has. Therefore, what is in it for us, we have to bring those qualities to ourselves. We have to be from those who are devoutly obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. We have to be straightforward in our obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. We have to set ourselves aside from those who ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the benefit that we get from those hadith. Also we have the second ayah which says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ لَا يُشْرِكُونَ. And those who ascribe not any one as partners with their Lord. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah telling us in Surah Al-Mu'minun telling us about those who do not ascribe any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning they establish tawheed in totality, meaning they left all type of association, they left all type of innovation, and they tried to leave all type of sin. They never insist on doing things. They never try to live a sinful lifestyle. But if sins come out of them being human, and every son of Adam must commit a sin, they will be quick to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third hadith that we're going to concentrate talking about is the hadith of, it says, كنت عند سعيد بن جبير فقال أيكم رأى الكوكب الذي انتقض البارحة؟ فقلت أنا. ثم قلت أما إني لم أكن في صلاة ولكني لجئت. قال فما صنعت؟ قلت سقيت. قال فما حملك على ذلك؟ قال حديث حدثناه الشعبي. قال فما حدثكم؟ قلت حدثنا عن بريدة بن الحصيب أنه قال لا رقية إلا من عين أو حمى. قال وقد أحسن من انتهى إلى ما سمع، ولكن حدثنا ابن عباس رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال عرضت علي الأمم فرأيت النبي ومعه الرهط، والنبي ومعه الرجل والرجلان، والنبي وليس معه أحد، إذا رفع إلي سواد عظيم فظننت أنهم أمتي، فقيل لي هذا موسى وقومه، فنظرت فإذا سواد عظيم، فقيل لي هذه أمتك، ومعهم 70,000 يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب. ثم نهض فدخل منزله فقاض الناس في أولئك، فقال بعضهم فلعلهم الذين صحبوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقال بعضهم فلعلهم الذين ولدوا في الإسلام فلم يشركوا بالله شيئا، وذكروا أشياء، فخرج عليهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخبروه فقال هم الذين لا يسترقون ولا يكتوون ولا يتطيرون وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. فقام عكاشة بن محصن فقال ادعوا الله أن يجعلني منهم. فقال أنت منهم. ثم قام رجل آخر فقال ادعوا الله أن يجعلني منهم. قال سبقك بها عكاشة. This hadith, it says, the narration of the hadith says, I was sitting at Sa'id ibn Jubayr. And Sa'id ibn Jubayr said, whom of you did see the shooting star last night? I answered, I did. However, I was not praying during that time, but I had been stunned. He told him, what did you do? He said, I used ruqya. Ruqya is incantation. He said, I used ruqya. Ruqya means incantation. He said, why did you do so? I replied and I said, this is what a hadith we heard from Al-Shu'bi. He said, what did this Shu'bi told you? He said, he told us a hadith that it says there is no incantation except from A'ayn, from Yintin, or from Estin. The man replied and he said, whoever does what he knows is good. However, we have a hadith that was told to us by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the nations paraded before me. So I saw the Prophet and he had a group of people with him. And I saw a Prophet and he has one man. And a prophet and he has two men. And a prophet and he does not have anyone with him. As I am looking, I saw a group, a large number of people. And I thought they were my nation. Then I looked. Then it was said to me, no, this is the nation of Musa. Then I looked and I saw even a larger crowd of people. And it was said to me, this is your nation. And with them, there are 70,000 people that will enter paradise without questioning and without any punishment. Then the Prophet ﷺ got up and he went to his house. So the people started talking. Who are those 70,000 people? Somebody suggested that they are the ones who are the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Others said, no, those are the people who were born Muslims. As they were talking, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out. And they told him about what they were saying. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, those are the ones who do not speak incantation, nor did catharize themselves, nor they practice superstition, and they depend on Allah. Ukasha, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the Prophet, ask Allah to make me one of them. He said, the Prophet said, you are one of them. Then another man got up and he said, ask Allah to make you one of them. He said, Ukasha has preceded you to it. This is the end of this hadith. The reason for which the author brought that this specific hadith under the title that he said, whoever establishes Tawheed will enter paradise without any reckoning, is the hadith talks about certain group of people that will enter paradise without being questioned, nor they're going to receive any punishment. So what did those people do? what will make them able to enter paradise in this level of perfection? We start this hadith from the beginning. The hadith says, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, who is one of the Tabi'een, the second generation after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, who saw the truth? And he replied, and he said, I did. And then he said, however, and pay attention to what he said because of the great importance, I was not in a prayer. Why did he say that? What does it have to do with him not being in the prayer? Can anybody take an assumption? For not the people to think that he was staying up the night praying. Because when the truth is start takes place in the night, people in the night usually are sleepy. So if he says, I saw the shooting star, people will think he was standing up praying. For him to deliver himself from showing off, he says, I saw the shooting star, however, I was not involved in acts of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look about our rash predecessors that we always tell them we have to follow their example. Look how much they were careful and how honest they were. They went to such degree to deliver themselves from any type of circumstances, any type of assumptions that will make them look like as if they were doing something but they were not doing it. That is the level of their honesty. This is the level of their practice of the religion. They did not just take an opportunity to put the people under their own oppression. If there was some circumstances that will make the people take a good wrong impression on them, about them, they will correct that. For them to be always as that which is the truth. So he said, I was not praying, but I had been stunned. Something different. So Sa'id ibn Jubayr told him, what did he do? He said, I sought incantation. I sought ruqya. I asked somebody to make ruqya over me. Ruqya, incantation, is a way of receiving healing. We say verses from the Quran or verses from the Sunnah, the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it will bring healing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person, what did he say? He said, I thought incantation. I asked somebody to do incantation on me. He told him, why did you do that? Also, here is another example from the teaching of our righteous predecessors. They used to ask each other questions. Why are you doing this? What is the evidence of what you are doing? Are you doing it out of the blue, like this? Are you pulling it out from the air? Or where did you hear from about this practice? For them to keep themselves in check. Not everybody assumes something and does it like this. Everything has to be verified and everything has to be authenticated. So he told him, why did he do that? What made you do that? He said, a hadith. So he referred to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told him, I heard a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there is no incantation except from envy or from a stone. If somebody was stone, you can do the incantation. So Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he said, yeah, that's good what you have done because you have acted according to what you have heard. You have acted according to evidence that you have heard. However, we know a different hadith. A hadith that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the nations were made to parade before me. So the Prophet saw a message, a prophet, and he will come with only group of people that believed in him. So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent some prophet, a prophet that was supported from the sky. Yet only group of people believed in the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, and the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the messenger, Prophet Muhammad said, and there was other prophets that only one man believed in him, or only two men believed in him. And some prophets, nobody believed in them. They are coming alone in the Day of Judgment. As I was seeing all of that, I saw a great number of people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, he assumed that that was his nation. And it was said to him, no, this is not your nation. This is Musa and his nation. And then a greater group of people appeared to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was said to him, this is your nation. And with them, 70,000 people that will enter paradise without reckoning and without questioning and without any punishment. Our Islamic belief that we say everyone who believes that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and Prophet Muhammad is his last and final messenger, and he does not do anything to nullify this belief, he will end up eventually in paradise. We have discussed that before, that if he was a sinner, he might be punished in the hellfire, and eventually, after he's purified from his sin, he will make it to paradise, because he is dying with believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know some people will be punished in the Day of Judgment. They will be in their sweat and they will be asking questions, and some people will have to go over the bridge, and some people will go over the bridge nice and easy. Some people will go over the bridge with difficulty, and some people will fall from the bridge to the hellfire, and so on and so forth. And all those calamities and all those difficulties, we know that 70,000 people will enter paradise easy, from deep, not even question. Imagine yourself, and it's a very different situation and very different circumstances, but it will bring the point. Imagine you are going to a certain country. You get down in the airport and the airport is crowded. You can never even set a foot in. And people standing in line, and people are agonizing, and people have been waiting in line for 5 hours and 6 hours and 24 hours, and you cannot even do anything. And they're going to ask you, why did you come here for? What you going to do? What's going to happen to you? And they're asking you all the questions. And then somebody comes, and he goes immediately and he enters. Would you be looking at this person? Who is this person? Why is he receiving this kind of treatment? And he's still in this life. He's not going anywhere else. So on the Day of Judgment, when all the people will be crowded in one area, and some people will be in their sweat to their ankles, some people will be in their sweat to their knees, some people will be in their sweat to their navel buttons, some people will be drowning in their sweat. And the people will be in extreme difficulties, and going from messenger to messenger, asking them to intercede for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start the judgment day. Yet, some people, when the judgment day starts, they will go crazy to paradise. It's worthy to ask, who are those people? What those people do? So the companions were asking, who are those people? And also, think with me about the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told his companions something that was very interesting, and went out. To leave the people, hey, who are those people? So the companions were thinking, they said, those are the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people say, no, those are the ones who were born into Islam. And they were assuming things, and who are those 70,000 people when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out. And he said, those people are the ones who do not seek ruqya. This is the first quality, seek your ruqya. Now we have to stop a little bit to explain what is ruqya. Ruqya, we say, is incantation. Did you know what incantation in English means? Incantation in English, or ruqya in Arabic, is specific statements from the Quran or from the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person will say, and this, what he says, will bring to this person protection, or it will bring to this person healing. For example, if he has headache, there's a ruqya for if you have pain in your body. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, you put your hand on the area of pain and you say three times, Bismillah, Bismillah, Bismillah. And you say seven times, أعوذ بعزة الله وقدرته من شر ما أجد وأحاذر. This is a ruqya from the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know recitation of Al-Fatiha is a ruqya because of healing. We know the story of that is when a group of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they went somewhere and they were hungry and they came to a tribe of people and they asked them for food, and the tribe refused to give them any food. Then the leader of that tribe was stung by a scorpion. So they came to the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they told him, is there anyone of you who can make ruqya? And one companion, he said, yes, but you have to give us a certain amount of cattle for us to do that. And they agreed on a certain number. Then the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to that person and he read unto him Al-Fatiha. And that person got up and walked as if nothing happened to him. So they came and they to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they told him the story and he approved of the situation. Those are the ruqya. It's permissible for you to make ruqya unto yourself from the Quran and the Sunnah. Also, it's permissible for me to ask you to make ruqya for me. I tell you, okay, I have headache. Can you please make ruqya for me? It's permissible. However, if you do that to disqualify yourself from being from the 70,000 people who enter paradise without any reckoning. Because the qualities of the 70,000 people that they do not seek ruqya. Why they do not seek ruqya? Because when you seek ruqya from somebody, you little bit depend on this person. Because you are saying this person has some relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore you might depend on this person. But therefore, those people, they do not seek ruqya from others. Even though seeking ruqya from others is permissible, but the qualities of the 70,000 people, they do not seek ruqya from others. This hadith, we have a benefit in the science of hadith. In one of the narrations of Sahih Muslim, it says, لا يرقون ولا يسترقون. لا يرقون ولا يسترقون. كلمة لا يرقون شاذة حكم عليها علماء الحديث بالشذوذ فتكون ضعيفة. كلمة لا يرقون لأننا نعلم أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يرتقي وكان يرقي الحسن والحسين. فهذه كلمة لا يرقون شاذة حكم عليها علماء الحديث بالشذوذ. So, the first quality of those people, they do not seek ruqya. What is the second quality of them? The second quality of them لا يكتوون, meaning they do not what? Cauterization. They do not practice cauterization. Do you know what the practice of cauterization? It was an old practice, and still some people do it. It's type of medicine. If there's pain in your leg or pain in the body, they know specific areas in the body, and they heat a certain piece of metal and they put it on the body. It's type of medicine. A lot of people do it. It's not practiced nowadays. And it's permissible to do. It's not haram to do. It's permissible in Islam. Actually, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as in the hadith Muslim, إِذَا كَانَ فِي شَيْءٍ مِّنْ أَدْوِيَتِكُمْ خَيْرٍ فَفِي شِرْطَةِ مَحْجَمٍ أَوْ شَرْبَةٍ مِّنَ الْعَسَلِ أَوْ لَدْغَةٍ بِنَارٍ. This is لَدْغَةٍ بِنَارٍ. The hadith says, if anything of your medication has benefit in it, is the blood to remove blood from certain areas of your body, or to drink some honey, or to have to do cauterization on yourself. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed that this practice has some benefit in it, but he said in the end of the hadith, وَمَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَكْتَوِي. I do not like this cauterization. The qualities of the 70,000 people that they do not do this cauterization practice. Why is that?